Thank you, Ms. Clark. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Luke chapter 8. I'm glad that God is not done working yet. Amen. It is good to be home and be back with you, looking forward to what God is going to do in this upcoming month and weeks here in our church, and looking forward to the fall, if you could say that, and not that we have one, but, you know, we plan to have like what everybody else has, and we were driving just the week that we were there and took a little bit of time up there in the north, you know, just driving up, the leaves were starting to turn a little bit, but you couldn't really see a whole lot, and just the 2 or 3 days that we were there, already beginning to really turn yellow in just those few days and overnights. And so for those of you that long to see that, you're going to have to go where we went to see it, because it doesn't happen here. Amen. It's either alive or dead. It's the way it works here. Amen. And so, amen. So it's just no fall. But man, when it gets to be February, they all want to come here to see that there is still life. Amen. And see the green that we still have. So what a blessing. You know, different parts of the country and things. And out of all the, I told Brother Danny, I told your brother, I texted, out of all the people that we could have, you know, we met a person from New England. You know, I'm from New Hampshire area, you know, and so backed in beside us and got to talk to him. And he said, I said, where are you from? And he's like, well, we're from a little place. You probably never heard of it, Concord. And I was like, I preach there every year. Amen. And he's like, really? And so what a blessing it is to be able to be a witness no matter where we are of the Lord Jesus Christ and encourage them. Folks, I'll just tell you, we drove down the road and church after church after church, beautiful cathedrals, brick buildings, and not a one of them Baptist. Even drove by one church that had Bible church on the sign, and I'm glad they had the Bible, amen. And on the sign it said, we preach Jesus. Folks, I'm glad that this morning the sign can tell other people what we're doing, because every week here at Longmont Baptist Church, we preach Jesus. Amen. We don't have to advertise who we preach. And up north, you need to, because you don't know what you're going to hear when you go into those places. And I'll just say, sometimes we think we have enough churches, but folks, there are a lot of buildings that really aren't churches. And Jesus is not preached. And you can't trust. I'm just going to say this. We don't need less churches in America. We need more. And during the COVID situation in the north, there was a lot of good places that shut their doors. And we don't need to have less. We need to have more. And I appreciate, and I'll just say this again, that I appreciate you letting me help my home church and being kind and comforting to me and encouraging when we come back, because we don't need less churches. We need more. And we need those churches that are still standing to be strong. Amen. And the only way they can be that way is, again, for other churches like ourselves who love them and care for them, just like they did in the book of Acts. The church at Jerusalem sent a bunch of people out, but then the church at Jerusalem had a need, and the churches that they had sent out sent back to their need and tried to help them. And so, again, folks, that's all we're trying to do is help churches in that age. And so in Luke chapter 8, I hope you're there now. I gave you a little bit of time. And for the tape room and for the title of the message today, if you're taking notes, put down this, the source of all power. The source of all power. We live in a day and age where a lot of times, and I read an article just the other day that disturbed me about Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania. Many of you know that it was one of the places that is the greatest really nuclear disaster that America's ever seen, there on Three Mile Island in Pennsylvania, that nuclear power plant there. But they have plans to reopen Three Mile Island. They're going to reopen that, and all the money that's going to do that is coming from Microsoft, of all places, because they are on the West Coast, and they don't have any power. And they don't care about the people on the East Coast, so they'll start the nuclear power plant back up, right? Because they need power on the West Coast. But that's not what concerned me. The reason that they wanted all that power, they said that Three Mile Island, once it's back up to speed in 2028, will be able to power, enough power to power 800,000 homes. Now, that's an overwhelming number to me. Now, that sounds a lot, doesn't it?
But Microsoft has plans to build so many computers and have so much AI generated by 2028, they are going to reboot and refit and redo Three Mile Island so that they can be the sole proprietor of all the energy that comes out of that power plant, so that they can power AI. Now, if that doesn't scare you to death about the future of just in the short few years, 2028 ain't that far away, folks. And to have enough power to power 800,000 homes so that they can power their computers that will be generating AI. Folks, that scared me. That reminded me that I don't want to be here when that happens. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Do you know, many of us don't go back far enough, but I had a preacher that cared about this. Do you know that the very first computer that they put together that way they would consider being the supercomputer? Do you remember what they called that? Took up a whole building. I think it was an 8-floor building. They called that computer the Beast. Now, the Beast is not a good name in the Bible. It's something that, again, for us, we in this age, listen, I'm going to tell you, we're headed back to that kind of day. And something that can think for itself, that can reproduce your voice or my voice, can, again, does a computer really, you know, don't you expect a computer to be able to hack people's devices? To be able to do things that you and I think is impossible, but a computer, I mean, if it can write songs and write papers for our college students, and I mean, we could go through all the things it does today. Well, what's it going to do by the time we get to 2028? Folks, we ought to come to the place where we realize that we live in the last days, that Jesus is coming soon, and that we need to focus on the fact that the source of all power is not Three Mile Island, is not all the power plants, it's not AI. The future of everything in eternity is not going to be any of these number of things that we've mentioned, but the source of all power is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the thing that we need to seek out, the thing we need to look to. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, he's the very last thing that we reach out for to try to touch and to get plugged in and touch him. The source of all power is Jesus Christ. I want you to do this with me. Have your Bibles, if you would, in your laps to Luke chapter number 8. We'll get ready to begin reading here in just a moment, but I'd like to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning to tap into the source of all power this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. God, I thank you again for your word. And Lord, I thank you for earthly things that remind us of powerful, eternal things. And God, I pray that today that you just move me out of your way, that I would just simply be your messenger boy, that I would deliver exactly what you've laid on my heart today, that I would preach your word, that people would understand about salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, and that there is limitless power found in him. God, help us to be able to be encouraged today from your word. Help us, God, if there's someone here who does not know Christ as Savior, that today the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ would be made clear to them, and that they would accept his offer of salvation. God, I pray today that if there is a Christian that was wondering where they would find the power to go on till tomorrow, or to heal, to help, to do above all that they could ask or think, help them to realize today that they can find that in Jesus, and Jesus only. In your name I ask it, Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 8, if you would, and we'll begin reading in verse number 40. It's a familiar story about a lady with an issue of blood. In fact, there's more than one lady who has an issue of needing healing, but there's a lady here. And then there's a man who comes to have his daughter healed named Jairus. Now, we're not going to deal with him necessarily today, but primarily the passage of Scripture. And I want you to see here in verse number 40, it says, "And it came to pass, as it much happens." You know, that's just life. And it came to pass. Anybody ever had things come to pass with you? A lot of bunch of people passed me while I was pulling that camper, but it was just life. Things come to pass, right? "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returning, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Now, I don't know if that sets a picture in your mind, but Jesus wasn't being rejected at this moment.
They had heard of his miracles. They believed in him as the Messiah, many of these peoples, and they expected him to be set up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They weren't looking for him to go to the cross and die. They were Jewish people, and they were thronging him and longing for him to do miracles in their sight. It says in verse 41, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood of 12 years." Now, I don't know if you picked this up, but God does everything in his own timing. Now, it was amazing to me to realize the God of all power, that this woman began to have an issue of blood the same time that Jairus had his daughter. 12 years. She's lived with the problem 12 years, and Jairus' daughter's lived 12 years. That's just not a coincidence. Jesus showed up in just the nick of time in both of their lives. He came, the Bible says, in the fullness of time. And I don't know, sometimes we miss the fullness of power, that the Godhead, that nothing happens by accident with him. And sometimes in the midst of our plans and the things that go on in our life, we feel like God doesn't know my circumstances or my problems or where I am this morning. Can I just remind you that the source of all power, if he is the source of all power, he is not confused with who you are, where you are, what you're doing, and what your needs are. He is very aware of what's going on in your life. Doesn't mean that everything going on in your life was his will or his choices. Sometimes those things are sinful. We brought on ourselves with just things that happened in our lives. Sometimes there's others people's sin that cross the lane on the highway and get us. Sometimes there's all kinds of, but listen, folks, everything that happens in the world isn't God's will, but God is still the source of all power. And if there's anybody that can sort out my mess and sort out your mess, it is the source of all power, and his name is Jesus Christ. This lady comes to this place here, and we're going to see, it says in verse 42, "For he had one daughter," in verse 42. "But as he went, the people thronged him." Can you see that? I can see in this statement that there he's coming into the city, they gladly welcome him in, and Jairus comes and falls down on his knees and says, "Jesus, I got an only daughter." Do you know Jairus was probably so proud he wouldn't have fell on his knees for himself, but for his little princess. He'd swim any tide, he'd cross any mountain, he would fall on his face and humble himself as the leader of a synagogue in anyone who could heal his daughter. And this person who probably several times before this moment has rejected Jesus Christ or the thought that he's the Messiah, but now he makes his way across town, stops Jesus and falls on his face and says, "I have my only daughter is in need of your help, and you're the only person that can help her. And you've got to come to my house. You got to help me. You got to help my daughter. You got to come to my place." Hey, folks, I don't know where you are, but I can hear the desperation in a daddy's voice as his daughter is laying dying at home. We don't realize the seriousness of the situation until somebody shows up after this lady with an issue of blood and says, "Hey, don't bother the master. Your daughter's dead." Does it put it in a whole nother tune that Jairus realized how close she was? By the way, why is it that we only run to God about our daughters and our children when they lay dying? How about when they're healthy with two good feet walking around and running and kicking every ball and playing everything? Do you realize that your child is just as precious when they're healthy as when they're lying, just laying dead, close to death? How about if we as parents and God's people start begging God for our children while they're healthy? How about we get back to just going to God and realizing he's the source of all power, and if we're going to raise up somebody or a family for God's honor and glory, we can't wait until they lay dying to ask God to do something in their life. We've got to, for every moment, beg God to give them a good wife, to give them a good husband. God, keep them healthy. God, help us stay in church where they can learn about you, that you're the source of all power. Help them to come to a place where they love you and honor you with their lives.
How come it is that we have to be desperate, distraught, and dying before we'll run to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? Folks, I'm not trying to preach at you or get you mad today or to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to remind you that the source of all power didn't just show up. He's always been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He's more than just a Savior. He's the solution to every problem. But yet, we'll run to everything else and everybody else before we run to Him. He goes on and he's standing here, and I can see he gets stopped. The Bible says after Jairus gets up, Jesus knows the situation and begins to head to Jairus' house. But the throng pressed on him so much when he began to go. They weren't moving. There's so much of a throng, they don't realize Jesus is going now. So they get and they hit the press. They hit the wall of people, and the people, I'm sure, were about to begin to move. But that stopping, that stops Jesus in his tracks because the throng hasn't moved out of his way. And I want you to see what happens here. It says in verse 43, and a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Now, I don't know about you, but I've taught my preacher boys at college, I'm teaching pastoral theology, that when you get a word that you don't know, it's a good word to learn and to put into your vocabulary. So if I start using the word staunched, you know where it came from. Now, this is a good Bible word, and you may wonder, because the word's primary meaning is that it stopped. But why didn't they use the word stop? It's not an archaic word. It's not a word that they didn't have in the English language. The word stop is in the Bible. But it doesn't have the same amount of power because staunch specifically is used for blood. And it not only means that it stopped, but it said it stopped, the problem in her blood stopped flowing. That means that at the moment that Jesus, she touched the hem of his garment and by faith trusted him, that it not only stopped, but it stopped flowing. Do you know that blood makes, that we make blood in our body? Our body produces it. And when our body in its core, up in the bones and in that marrow of our bones, begins to make bad blood, it'll keep making it. And it'll keep making bad blood. And it'll keep making bad blood. Do you know what happened the moment this woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment? Not just the blood that was flowing through her body was purified and cleansed at the moment Jesus' virtue went out of him and purity hit her head on. But it went all the way to the bone marrow and healed her to a place where her body stopped producing bad blood. It healed the blood that was in her body, and her body began to produce blood that was not tainted the way it always had for 12 years. It was so powerful and such a miracle in herself. She knew the moment that she touched him that whatever was going on deep inside of her was gone. Folks, there are people in this building today that have been healed miraculously by God Almighty, and they knew the moment that Jesus showed up. They knew that, and they, some of them can track it back to people praying and on their face before them, and the source of all power, the Lord Jesus Christ, reached down and touched them in their lives. And they can tell you, I can count the hours, and I looked at the clock, and the church was on its knees, and God touched my body and healed me. And I knew it was Him because it wasn't a power that the doctors had. It wasn't some pill that the cure come flowing over me. It was Jesus who touched my body. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I think about the source of all power and how powerful He is, and even this isn't some mythical story. This is recorded history in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The throng stopped Him, and that lady just reached out and said, I don't want anybody to be weirded out by me putting my hands. See, we think maybe she ran up and put her hands on His head. She reached up and got His elbow. Or she took His hand and put it on her head. The Bible says that she just got close enough to Him to get the hem of His garment. To get the very tail
If it was a preacher today, she caught him by the coattail. And with a throng and a press like that, Jesus realizes that purity or virtue went out of his body at that moment. And he stops what he's doing, and he stops the throng, and he stops everybody and says, "Hold up a minute. Somebody touch me." Hey, folks, I'm going to tell you, when Jesus shows up and does something powerful in your life, he wants everybody to know about it. Do you know, this lady, just like you and I, sometimes when God does something for us, we're a little bit too shy to share it with everybody. But when God does something in our life that is this powerful and is this big, sometimes we need to step up and say, "I was the one that touched you. I was the one that reached out to the source of all power." Do you know when people get saved in our church and they come down front and make public profession, that isn't gonna change anything about them. It ain't necessarily for them. It's for the people sitting in the pew that didn't reach out to Jesus. It's for everybody else to realize that, hey, he just like the preacher said, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. I did it. I humbled myself. I reached out and I got a hold of him by faith. And he saved me. This baptismal tank, it isn't a washing away of your filth. I hope you take a bath before you get in there. It's a picture of faith, believing what I put my faith and trust in, and I'm identifying with Jesus Christ. It's just another way of saying, he did it. He did it. When I reached out, he touched me, and purity flowed out of him. Folks, I don't know about you, but when I came to Jesus, I needed purification. I was a sinner, lost in my sins. There was no way I could go to heaven because of my sin. But when I reached out for Jesus, virtue flowed from him. Virtuous blood flowed down an old rugged cross when he suffered and died for my sin and yours. He paid a debt that I could not pay. Just think about this. We don't think about all power being in Jesus Christ all the time, but Jesus, before he tells the church of the witness that he wants us to be, in Matthew chapter number 28, says in verse 18, that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you realize that that's not just in the natural realm, but in the supernatural realm as well? And that the source of all power in every realm that you will ever face, either the natural one here or the one to come, all power is found in Jesus Christ. I want you to see number one. Now, I know I did a lot of preaching. I'm going to give you three quick points. Number one, Jesus is the source of all power. I want you to take that home with you today. That power is in multiple ways, but when we put our faith in him, he's the source of all power for salvation. He's the source of all power for every solution that every one of us will ever need for this life. His word, the mind of Christ in print, gives solutions for this life. Oftentimes we forsake it. It's a book. Even this morning we talked about a devotional. We write a devotional so that you'll get in it and hear from God, because it's a book of solutions. He's not just the power, all powerful, but he is all powerful and supernatural. The supernatural is, we talked about, this is a miracle. Folks, if you follow Jairus on down the road, when somebody shows up in just a few verses and says, "Your daughter is dead," Jesus says, "Don't worry, let's go on and go." By the way, Jesus doesn't let all the scoffers into everything he does. When he gets to Jairus' house, he puts out all the people who begin to laugh when he says, "She's only asleep. Don't worry about it." Peter, James, and John, what it would have been like to be a part of that inner three close to Jesus. He puts everybody else out but mom, dad, Peter, James, and John. And Jesus raises a girl from death to life. You imagine what it's like. Listen, when I get to heaven, I only can read up to that point, but I'm going to sit down with Peter, James, and John, and I'm going to say, "Tell me what Jesus said. Tell me exactly how it went."
And I can't wait for Peter to go, I'll tell him first, guys. Because he had the biggest mouth out of all of them, right? And he's going to say, let me tell you. He said, man, I wish you were there. I wasn't believing that anything could happen. I didn't know what Jesus was going to do. I could tell clearly that she was pale and that she had passed on to the next life. But the God of all power, the source of all power, something happened in that girl. And her color came back. And she sat back up and she greeted her mom and dad. Can you imagine what it was like to be Jairus that day, to realize that you went to the only place that could have helped, and to realize that your daughter passed not from death unto life, but from life from death. I don't know about you, but I'm excited when I realize that God has not only power of the supernatural life that I will live, but over this life. Many of you are facing all kinds of crazy diagnosis, all kinds of crazy things going on in your life. I realize that every one of us face trouble and trials on a daily basis, and the only way to face them is to face them with the source of all power locked in your life through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't deal with it right. Second of all, I want you to do this. Jesus is a source that can be touched. He is a source that can be touched. Sometimes we think because Jesus is not here that Jesus can't be touched. But when Jesus left here, he clearly left us with instructions with how to get in touch with him. Do you realize Jesus said that he wanted us to plug in? He is our intercessor. He didn't just sit down to stop all work, but he's like, hey, I'm here for you to call on my name, and anything that you ask in my name, according to my will, I'll do it. Do you realize what kind of powerful statement that is for the Christian when you realize that if it's in God's will and it will bring him glory and you ask it in Jesus' name, there is nothing that the source of all power cannot do in and through you if you beg him for it. I want you to see this. It's not just that it's how I have faith in Jesus Christ. You know, faith will move mountains, but it's the person of my faith. Way too many times we look at our mustard seed faith and think it's not enough or that's the failing issue. Folks, if it was about our faith, we would doubt our salvation. We would doubt everything about it. It's not about the faith in the size of my faith. It's about my God and the size he is. And if I put enough faith just to simply trust him with it, to take my problem and to set it in his hands, if I'm willing to just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, that we serve an all-powerful God, that just the hem of the garment is enough faith. Because he turns to the lady and says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Folks, I believe with all my heart that we don't reach out enough and touch God. We don't reach out and touch him through prayer. We often don't try to tackle the tough things in our life through touching him, getting in touch with him. Now, I just brought an illustration, and I want you to see this exactly. Listen, Jesus knows us by name. I want you to say, if you want to put this down because I'm afraid I'll miss it, Jesus knows exactly who reaches out to him. Do you know he knows everyone that's saved? He says in John chapter 10 that he's the shepherd, I mean the good shepherd, and that my sheep hear my voice and I know them. Folks, I want you to see this morning. Now, this may be funny, but I feel like we need a good illustration as a window to truth. Now, this is a vacuum cleaner. I know some of you ladies ain't seen one of these in a long time. Right? Right? Some of you men, you've been doing this, right? You know why? Because now they don't have cords on them. They got battery powered. And anything with battery power, man's willing to pick up and use. Right? Right? Anyway, so, but we'll go a little old school and we'll see this vacuum. And now listen, now we know that this is a cleansing tool and this is something that works. But, you know, I can get up here and as a Christian, I can see that this is a vacuum cleaner. It's made to clean things off the floor. Can I tell you, I can push it back and forth all for all I'm worth and act like I'm doing something. But without power, it don't do a whole lot. I can even make noise while I'm doing it and make you think it's doing something. I don't know what it's going to sound like, but you know what I mean. It could be annoying. Anyway, so whatever it sounds like, we can vacuum. And whether you like it or not, I'm doing what everybody says a vacuuming is. Am I getting anything done? There's no power. I can be a Christian. I can have all the things, and I can be equipped to do all the work that God has me to do. But if I don't plug into power, nothing's going to happen. Hey, listen, I'm not trying to be hard tonight, but I mean today, but I mean, listen, this thing, when I plug it in, listen to what it sounds like. I don't have to pretend, do I? I get powered up. I'm going to help Brother Jevin out. I'm going to clean some up here. You can't see me. I'm still here, though. But you know, now that I'm plugged in, there's still an on button. You know, and this is one of the things I think we miss, is that even sometimes when we get plugged up, we're in the faith. I am a Christian. I have access to all power. I'm plugged in. But it's right at the switch. Do you know every one of us have to switch it on? Do you know I have access to ask God as a Christian and I'm plugged into Him? Now I'm saved and I have the power living inside of me. But if I don't ask or I don't turn on the switch to make things happen in my life, I don't put my trust in Him and then act on it, nothing happens. I can still, with it touched and plugged in, go through the motions. And I'm doing nothing. But when I simply just say, Lord, I want you to work. I don't want to go through the motions anymore. I don't want to live a powerless Christian life. I don't want people to have to walk by me and me fake it and go, Folks, there's a bunch of Christians that do that because we really want others to realize that we have power. And we're plugged up, but we haven't asked. What would soul winning be like if I went in power? Who would get cleaned up and get saved if I just turned on and asked God to be a part of my bus route? I got a spot, Brother Jevin. I got something. I think Brother Bert left it there for me. You say, this is the simplest illustration ever, preacher. Yeah, it is. But it's solid. Because we wonder, why isn't my life getting cleaned up? I'm plugged in. Well, how about if you act by faith and ask God, just reach out for the hem of His garment. And just click the power on. How about in our lives with our, I mean, listen, we all know somebody in this town that we could be a witness to if we by faith just asked them, would you go to church with me? And we act like a Christian all around them. I'm going to church. I'm doing all the things. But in power, just ask God, would you begin to touch their heart? Because you know we don't have power to change people's hearts. Do you know that we don't have power to have boldness to ask somebody to come to church with us? And even if we did, we'd be so bold we'd run them off instead of get them here. But when we say, God, You're the source of all power. And I don't even know all of what You could do, but I'm going to ask this of You because it's bigger than me. And across the auditorium this morning, we have bigger than us needs in every seat, in every pew. We have bigger than us needs in our personal lives. And all we have to do is just click the button on and say, God, I'm going to claim. You said if I asked anything in your name. You said if I just trusted in you. You said if I just reach out and touch the hem of your garment, that by my faith I would be made whole. Hey, you say, preacher, God doesn't heal everybody. I realize that. God doesn't do, you know, the key to all that is in his will. But you know it's a lot easier when God tells me no to realize that his grace is sufficient for me. Do you realize when God is the one, when I know God's answer on anything in my life, it's a lot easier for me to swallow that than when I don't know. When I've got God's answer, whether it's in my will or not in my will, when I realize it's God's will, I realize he's in control. It's a lot easier to follow him through any trial and any tribulation when I know the source of all power has made a decision in my life. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, but some people, just like this lady, he heals. Some people, he acts in their lives and raises their daughters from the dead. Some people, he doesn't just say, my will and my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes he says yes. And those are moments that change not just our lives, but our church and our communities, because they see the power of God in the life of a Christian. Not just somebody playing church. Not somebody just pretending to have power. But they see the power of God at work in a Christian's life. Wouldn't it be great through this season of our church and our ministry if our community, Haines City, Winter Haven, Davenport, all the cities around saw the source of all power turned on at Landmark Baptist Church? Because it isn't the pews. I preached that this morning. It's not the pews that get power. It's not the building. The power's on this morning for the building. But the power on inside the church. Because we just plugged in and we turned the switch on and asked God to do above all that we could ever ask or think through us this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, can I just tell you this morning that the source of all power has done what we could not do, and he came from heaven and died on Calvary and paid our sin debt. And if you will simply put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he will save you and give you eternal life. Listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know that for sure, boy, we would love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're here this morning and you are saved, but for a while you've not been plugged in to the source of all power, or you've not been turning the switch on, would you come this morning and talk to him and say, God, I need your power. God, help me to plug in. God, help me to turn on the switch. God, help me to trust in you for all things. Whatever it is that God has spoken to your heart and your life about today, would you do business with him? If you're not saved and you don't know that heaven would be your home, then meet me in the front. Let me take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you are a Christian and you know you need to do business with God, then don't delay. Do what God has asked you to do today. Let today be the change in your life. As Brother Bert begins to sing, would you stand to your feet? Would you step out and come and meet me in the front?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, folks have stepped out and come. How about you? Do you need to be saved this morning? This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we invite you to step out and make your way down the aisle. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved by calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to do that this morning. We'd love to show you how through the Bible. Would you step out and come? Christian, if God has spoken to your heart,
do business with Him this morning. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Do business with Him, as Brother Bert sings.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, as Christians pray, if you're here this morning, let us give you another opportunity, another invitation to be saved, to call upon the Lord and be saved. It's only through the source of all power, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in His Word that He's the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You cannot make it to heaven. You cannot live eternally without calling upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation. I beg you this morning, if you're in this building, as a gospel preaching preacher, I beg you, if you're lost, please this morning make your way down the aisle or to someone else that you know can show you how to be saved, and let's get that taken care of. Let's leave here with faith in Jesus Christ and know for sure that heaven will be your home. As Brother Bert sings and people pray, you step out and come. If you're like that and you're lost, would you come forward today?
Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight riches healing of the mind, yea, all I need in Thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we close the invitation, let me just say this. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to make my way to the back door and I'll be back there. Would you just come out that door and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I'd love to take the Bible and show you." We don't want anyone to leave here lost and on their way to a devil's hell. We want to be able to give you the gospel that'll tell you and give you hope where you put your faith in Jesus Christ and have heaven for eternity. That's what we want for you. I hope you all will come back tonight. We have a ministry fair, all right? You say, "What is that?" Come and find out. If you've never been to it, you'll never really know. I can describe it. I can paint you word pictures of what's going to go on. But it would be so much better if you got plugged in and showed up and took part in it. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Spadano, would you come and close us in prayer, my brother? Tape room, make sure you have this other mic on if you would. Close us in prayer, brother. Yes, thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your loving kindness, Your goodness, Lord, Your long-suffering, and especially, Lord, Your great power. Father, if there's anyone here that needs to be saved, please, Lord, bring them to salvation today. Draw them by Your Spirit. Father, bring us back tonight safely. Let us enjoy a time of fellowship as we present our ministries. And if there's someone that hasn't come to a night service, I pray tonight they would come. Love You, Lord, and thank You for Your loving kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.